Tonight we're going to be in Revelation chapter 5, and this is about the sealed scroll. So, in this chapter, God is seen holding a scroll, which has seven seals binding it. The scroll contains a record of the judgments that will fall on the earth before the Lord Jesus sets up his kingdom. So I'm going to begin reading at verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals?" And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals." And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." Verse 11, "Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.' And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, 'Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever.' And then the four living creatures said, 'Amen.' And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever." What a scene. Hallelujah. That is powerful. Hallelujah. And you remember back in chapter 5 and verse 2, we'll begin here. It says, "I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals?'" So that question was presented. And of course, there was only one that was worthy. And so according to Roman law, all legal documents pertaining to life and death were sealed seven times. Many Bible scholars believe this scroll is the legal title deed to the earth. Since Adam sinned, all creation was under bondage to sin, Satan, and death. Therefore, no one in Adam's race could claim their inheritance. No one was worthy but one. In the Hebrew system of owning land, only a near relative, which would be a kinsman redeemer, could redeem or buy back land lost by the original owner. And of course, the story of Ruth was based upon this law. Jesus, being our kinsman redeemer, our elder brother in a sense, right? The Lord Jesus Christ, by his own blood, bought us back to God. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, "God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds." So Jesus, again, was the only one worthy, amen, to open the scrolls. And he's the only one who could set the creation free. Remember, he was the Lamb, amen, of God, that was slain from the foundation of the world. He was yet without sin in all his life. Amen. He became our sacrifice. He was the perfect, sinless Lamb of God. Hallelujah. In Revelation chapter 5, verse 4, again, John said, "I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. Now, Jesus was from the tribe of Judah. Judah means praise. And he is described as a lion and associated also with the kingly line of David, right? He was the Root of David. So Jesus is the only one who has prevailed, who has overcome the world, amen, and is worthy to open this scroll to reveal its contents. Think about this in Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. It says that Jesus, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle over them, triumphing over them in it. That means at the cross. The cross was a victory. Hallelujah. Death is defeated. Amen. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Overcame the grave. Death, hell, and the grave. Now, Jesus said in Revelation 1:18, going back to chapter 1, I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades, right? Hades and death. Hallelujah. Hell and death. Before Jesus was born, remember the Virgin Mary, who was born, by the way, of the house of David, was told by the angel Gabriel in Luke chapter 1, verse 31, behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the one who was and is to come, the Almighty. He was also, amen, the Creator. Hallelujah. Jesus is more than an angel, amen, but he was the Son of God. He was the Word that was in the beginning with the Father that became flesh and dwelt among us. Hallelujah. And so God took our place because God so loved his creation that he wanted us to be with him. And there is no possible way for us to be righteous, to be able to redeem ourselves, because sin cannot pay for sin. So God took the initiative and he paid in blood for our souls. That's how much God loves us. He was the kinsman redeemer who bought us, amen, and brought us to himself and calls us sons and daughters today. Hallelujah. Yes, he says, I am he, in verse 18, Revelation 1, who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. Now, think about this in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 6. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And it's interesting how God uses pictures, you know. And we have to be able to tell the difference between something that is figurative and something that is literal. And sometimes interpreting Scripture, if we get those mixed up, if we take something literal that's supposed to be a figure or a type or a shadow of something, we can get into trouble, into error, you know, in interpreting Scripture. So he said, he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Who would that be? It'd be the Father, yes, right? The Lord came and took the scroll from the Father. Amen? And when he had taken the scroll, verse 8, the four living creatures and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And again, God gives us this picture of the seven, you know, horns and the seven eyes to try to help us understand a little bit more of who he is. God is multifaceted in his expression. You know, we're constantly discovering more about him, learning more about him. I mean, he's God, you know. And so it's interesting when we learn something new, we say, oh, wow, I never saw that before. It's interesting, isn't it? He's Almighty God. Hallelujah. And God allows us to get a glimpse. You know, we're seeing through a glass darkly. We don't see the full revelation right now, but God allows us to see so much. And I think a lot of this is based upon how much we can handle, you know. But John looks here and he sees this Lamb standing in the midst of the throne. Now, of course, we remember John the Baptist was the one. This is Apostle John, but John the Baptist was the one who introduced Jesus. Right? He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." All right. And then our Lord's death and resurrection proved that he is the one who is worthy to reign over all creation, to open the book and to judge the world. So now I want us to look at something else here, because Jesus was not only the suffering servant, right? Not only the Lamb, but he's also the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the reigning king. He's a suffering servant and a reigning king. And I've shared this with you before, but, you know, the Jews have always understood or thought that there was two messiahs. One would be a suffering servant and the other would be a reigning king. But Jesus was the fulfillment of both of those. That's why some of them, they're not even recognizing Jesus as being the Messiah. And, of course, one of the forbidden books, I believe, in Judaism is Isaiah 53, which really gives us a picture of the suffering servant, you know. And if you could read that and understand, it's speaking exactly of Jesus, you know. And it says in Isaiah 53, verse 7, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth." Because Jesus had come for that reason, amen, to lay down his life for his sheep, amen, that we might be saved. Now we see the Lord here in this picture as the Lamb, amen, but as all-powerful, amen. Seven horns, what does that represent? Well, horns in the Bible represent authority. So Jesus has perfect authority, full authority. Amen. Seven is a number of completion, right? Fullness. And he has full authority and power. And the seven eyes speak of discernment, also wisdom and knowledge. He's all-knowing. Amen. He's the all-wise God. Amen. The only true wise God. And of course, we cannot see clearly unless the Lord gives us the ability to discern, to be able to tell the difference between what is of him and what is not, what is true, what is false, what is right, what is wrong. It's the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, amen, the Spirit of truth that leads us into all truth. So you see authority here and wisdom, amen, and knowledge and discernment, all in our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, you and I are complete in him. We have everything we need if we have Christ in us. All that we have need of is there with us, amen. He's with us. We have to learn how to lean on him, how to pray and ask for help and for wisdom, for guidance, just like you're asking that the Lord give you wisdom, you know, concerning your pet. Now, Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, again, many of us are familiar with these, but it says being found in appearance as a man. It's interesting that it says in appearance as a man. It didn't say he was being found as a man, but in appearance as a man. Because, you know, he was more than a man. Amen. He was God incarnate in flesh. He was 100% God, 100% man. And so any spirit that would deny the deity of Christ is of this Antichrist. It's the spirit of Antichrist, either in place of or against Christ. The Bible is very clear that God became a man in the person of Jesus Christ. The Word, amen, was with the Lord. In the beginning was the Word, right? And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. And then the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hallelujah. So he was found in appearance as a man, but he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And again, humility is strength under control, strength under power. It's not weakness. It just means that I take my strength and I submit it to the authority of somebody else, to the will of someone else. You know, if you're working for a boss, you know, you can choose not to obey your boss, but it's going to cost you, you know. But if you understand, you know, authority and how it works, and if you're willing to humble yourself and obey your boss and do a good job, there are rewards, there are benefits, amen, to doing a good job and being a faithful employee. And likewise, if we are willing to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, then He will lift us up in honor. He will honor those who honor Him. Amen? And so here in verse 9, therefore, God also has highly exalted Him and given Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, here's the thing that we don't like to talk about or think about much, but as believers, we should expect suffering. Amen, before glory. People want a crown, but they don't want the cross. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Anybody who's truly born again is going to experience some tribulation, some difficulty, some fiery trials. Amen. Verse 12. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. You know, sometimes we've done an injustice to new believers by telling, oh, from now on it's going to be so great, you know, and so wonderful. You never have, you know. And sometimes we even get that mindset because God lavishes His grace on us in such a measure when we're babies, you know, that we're just thinking it's always going to be like this, you know. And then comes a time when the papa says, you know, well, you're going to have to learn to walk on your own, walk by faith. So you're not going to necessarily always feel my hand in your hand. But I'm right here. I'm right here in case you fall. You know, I'll catch you if you call on me. But I want you to learn how to walk by faith. And I use that illustration often of the child learning to walk. When you got both hands, you know, on your child, they're holding onto your hands, and boy, they're pretty confident. They're up there, they're doing their little dance, and they're walking. It's like, yeah, we can do this, yeah. Look at me, I'm walking, and all of a sudden you let go of those hands. They're like, oh! And that's kind of how it is, you know, when we're beginning to walk in the Spirit, and God's teaching us how to walk by faith, is all of a sudden we're not finding that felt presence all the time like we did. And it's not necessarily that we've backslidden, it's just that God wants us to trust His Word and not our feelings, because sometimes our feelings deceive us. And a baby has to be bottle fed, amen, for a season, but not when they're 10 years old, right? It's time to take out the bottle, right? And so God wants us to learn to trust Him, to take Him at His word. All you have to do, Lord, is speak the word and my servant will be healed. That's what the centurion said. You see, he had a faith that God would do what He said He would do, could do. Amen. And so you and I have to learn how to walk by faith, and that means trials, difficulties, tests along the way. If you want to be promoted, you have to take the tests in order to be promoted. Amen. We want the promotion without the tests. We want to cheat and take the easy way. Are you hearing me, somebody? Let me just be comfortable and take mine ease, you know, and then that doesn't work that way. There's a price to pay. Even though Jesus paid in full, amen, for our redemption, I believe there is a price to pay for the anointing, for example. You want an anointing, amen? Well, God needs leaders that He can trust. He needs people that He can trust, amen? So we have to be tested and tried and proven before He'll entrust us with the greater riches. If we want promotion in the kingdom, we have to go through the trials and the tests, which, like James said, count it all joy, yeah. But it's important. It's part of the process. But, you know, if we want to avoid any difficulties or going through the things that God wants us to go through, you can't always rebuke your way out of everything, all right? Or command your way out of everything, or you know, everything that comes your way, you can't necessarily avoid. But we need to know who's there with you through it. And He's helping you, amen? And He's teaching you that He is faithful, just like He promised. We don't know, as the song says, I wouldn't know what God could do if I didn't have a problem, right? Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus, Andre Crouch. I've learned to trust in God. If I never had a problem, I wouldn't know that God could solve it. I wouldn't know what faith in God could do. So I think we don't enjoy this, but we have to understand that part of the process of growing up, even in the natural, is growing pains. All right? It's difficult, isn't it? Especially being a kid and growing up and going through your teenage years and all that stuff, you know? Those are difficult. I can look back and say, man, those are difficult times. It's a miracle I survived those years, right? Most of us can say that, you know? But it's part of the process of growing up. And every child has in them a desire to grow. And so likewise, we should have a desire in us to grow spiritually. And that's why you're here tonight, right? Because we're here to learn and to grow and to share together and to build one another up in the faith. Amen. It's not everything that I do. It's the Holy Spirit working through all of us together, building up, edifying one another. Amen. I just do my part. You do your part. We get along good, you know, and we need each other. And God designed it that way. He designed the body, amen, to rely upon the other parts. And so don't ever think, and I said this Sunday, that your gift is not important or your part is not important. It doesn't matter if you're a thumb or a thumbnail. Amen. You need every part of your body and to be functioning and to be working together as a team. All right. So now how many know that there's great joy in heaven? There's celebration in heaven. We see that. And praise. Amen. God inhabits the praises of his people even. But listen to this. Verse 13. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. People who are living for Jesus, who are living for God, amen, are looking forward to seeing the Lord. Amen? Because they've made sacrifices. They've had to give things up that maybe they wanted to do, but they saw greater riches in doing the will of God and serving the Lord and living for him. Isn't that right? And so that's why you're willing. You say it's really nothing compared to what the glory will be. Amen. Someday when we see Jesus and he says, well done. You were willing to give up these things, but now you're going to receive greater things in eternity. Hallelujah. We're going to receive the reward, amen, from the Lord. Hallelujah. If you are reproached, verse 14, for the name of Christ, talking about the suffering servant, Jesus, and you and I following in his footsteps, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. So, yea, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If we really want to live for Jesus, amen, and not go with the flow of the crowd and what's popular, but go with what God says is good, amen, and obey the Lord, there's going to be some clashing and going on, amen, and there's going to be a spiritual conflict, amen. And so the enemy's not happy when people want to live for Jesus, amen. Because people that live for Jesus are a threat to the kingdom of darkness. People who live for Jesus, amen, are in opposition to what the enemy wants to accomplish. That's why he's constantly trying to seduce us away from God and get us to compromise with sin. So he can ruin our effectiveness. You know, he's trying to ruin our testimony. We have to be so careful. I see I read some stuff sometimes that people put out, and I'm like, they're Christians. They're talking about Jesus, and yet then they talk about this person, or they talk about, you know, nasty about people, and it's like, you know, this is a poor testimony, you know, and you lose your set testimony. It's hard to regain it, isn't it? We have to walk carefully, you know, and we have to be apologetic with people in the sense that if we do make a mistake, own up to it. That can be a testimony too. Amen. They'll see, hey, this person doesn't, like most of our politicians, try to hide it. They admit it. They admit it when they're wrong. I made a mistake. And you could say, you know, I was out of character. That's not who I am. That was the old me. But my new character, amen, is to be Christ-like, to be like my Father in heaven, to live holy, you know, and live an honorable life so that he's glorified by my behavior. But if we're going to live for Christ, if we're going to live like Jesus did, you're going to be opposed. There's going to be opposition. There's going to be a price to pay. And sometimes you're not even going to know why people don't like you. But what it is that they have a different spirit in them than you do. Amen. And that spirit in them does not like the spirit of God in you. Amen. So don't take it personal. Amen. It's really the devil hates God. And because we're his creation, amen, he wants to get to God through us. If he can get us to compromise, amen, he can hurt the heart of God. If he can get us to sin, then he can point a finger and say, look what I got them to do. Ha ha. Are you hearing me, somebody? So we want to live to honor our Father because we represent him on the earth. And we don't want to grieve the one that we love. We want to do what's right, amen, in his sight. Because we represent him and we want to bring glory and honor to our Father. You know, when Bruce and I would mess up when we were kids, you know, it did reflect on our parents. You know, those parent-teacher conferences. I always tried to hide under a rock when those things were going on. Uh-oh, I hope they don't tell them everything. You ever been there? I was one of those knucklehead kids, you know, that, yeah, I was getting into trouble. And I knew I had a couple teachers that they were gracious. I just knew they were gracious. Because when they gave the report, I was expecting them to say certain things about me, but they didn't. And, you know, that certainly changed my attitude towards that teacher after that. You know what I'm saying? That they were gracious to me. They could have crucified me, you know, but they didn't. Instead, they showed grace and they gave more of a good report about me. Instead of focusing on my faults, they focused on my good traits. And I think there's something to be said about that, even with our own kids. It's easy to find fault, amen, with any of us. But how about finding the good in people and talking about that, amen? But this great praise, this great celebration in heaven. In chapter 5 and verse 9, we're moving along in verse 9 now, they sang a new song in heaven. And you know, you see in Scripture whenever God wrought a miracle, for example, the Red Sea, they went through the Red Sea, it says on the other side that they sang a new song. Horse and rider, he's cast into the sea. Amen. So it's saying, you know, that, and I wonder if it's not, heaven isn't just a continual new song. As they get another glimpse of God's glory and a new song comes, of praise comes, you know. But here he was hearing them say, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and you have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation and have made us kings and priests to our God and we shall reign on the earth. In verse 11, then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Man, there's a praise gathering going on. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard this saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Hallelujah. Then the four living creatures said, amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. Amen. Now think about this. On the earth, Jesus was the Lamb of God. And he was despised and rejected. But now he is being glorified. Amen. In heaven receives the highest praise. 2 Corinthians 13 verse 4. Though he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by the power of God. For we also, here it relates to the church, are also weak in him. But we shall live with him by the power of God towards you. He's saying we have to rely upon the Holy Spirit, amen, in order to live the Christian life. Jesus relied upon the Father, amen, the Spirit of God, to do what he was called to do. And he entered into his glory, amen. He counted the cost and he went all the way to the cross, hallelujah, on our behalf. And we're called to join him outside the camp to bear his reproach. The world's not going to love us, amen. But God loves us and God cherishes us. We are the apple of his eye. Even as ancient Israel was the apple of his eye, so you and I today are the apple of his eye. He's got His eye on His church. He's got His eye on His bride. He's getting us ready, hallelujah, for that great day. We will be reunited with the Lord, amen? When the bridegroom comes to receive His bride, hallelujah. And I believe in a rapture. I believe there will be a gathering together, a catching away, amen, to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's what the Bible teaches. Hallelujah. But we're going to live by the power of God towards you, He said. In other words, He said, we can't do anything except rely upon the Spirit of the Lord and then to do our apostolic duty. And so likewise, each one of us has been given gifts and an assignment, you know, a responsibility. It was to rely upon the Holy Spirit, ask God to help us, to guide us, to show us where and what and how to say it, what to say. God will do it. And you got to get yourself out on that limb sometimes. You just can't be sitting in the boat all the time. If Jesus is out on the water, get out on the water where He's at. Amen. That's where life is at. Wherever He is, that's where life is at. Remember, Jesus said, wherever I am, there my servant will be also. And so He's going to be where He told us to be. If we're where He tells us to be, He's going to meet us there. If God told you to be here tonight, He's meeting you right now, isn't He? He's speaking to you right now because you obeyed His voice. And there may be, I don't know, there may be somebody who was supposed to be here that didn't listen to the right voice and decided, I'm just not going to go tonight. I don't feel like it. But you know, when we grow up, we put childish things away. I'm not saying just because they're not here that that's what happened, but it can be the case. But when we become adults, we take on responsibility. We say, you know what? I may not feel like doing my duty, but it is my duty. It is my responsibility to get up in the morning and go to work. There's times when I just like to hit the alarm clock and destroy it, you know, completely. But I say, no, I need to get up, take responsibility, take control of this body that God gave me responsibility over. Amen. And tell body, get up out of bed. Do something with that face, right? Do something with them teeth. Oh, my word. Anyways, moving right along. If the face says shave, shave, right? If it says wash, wash. All right. So we just had a lesson in hygiene, personal hygiene. What was the message about tonight? I don't know, personal hygiene. So all creation will one day bow before the King. He's not coming this time as a suffering servant. Come on, somebody. He's not coming to be abused, to be spat on, to be ridiculed, to be mocked and scorned and rejected. No, He's coming as King of Kings. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, amen, is going to roar from His heavenly throne, amen. He's coming to rule and He's coming to reign and He shall reign over all the earth. Hallelujah. He's going to establish His reign from the city of Jerusalem. Hallelujah. He'll rule the nations with an iron rod. Hallelujah. Scepter. Power, authority. King of kings, Lord over every lord. Hallelujah. Ain't going to be none of these politicians thumbing their nose in that day. They're going to be on their face before the Almighty God. Amen. The King of kings. Hallelujah. Today we bow. Today is the day of salvation. Today we humble ourselves. Amen. And we declare Jesus as Lord of our lives. He's Lord of all. And even as they sing and make music in heaven, we sing and make music on earth. And we join together, amen, with the heavenly orchestra as we sing our praises. Hallelujah. We've had angels break through. We've had that times where we just could hear other, even like instruments at times. You know what I'm talking about? And it was just amazing. Yeah. How heaven and earth were coming together because we took the time to seek the face of God, amen, to really draw near to God. Hallelujah. I think sometimes we're getting so close to a breakthrough, and you say, oh, time up, boom, you hit the bell, and now we're moving on to the next thing. Are we willing to pay the price? Are we willing to take the time to get over ourselves and worship? You know, guys, I got to get over myself all the time, every day. I got to overcome me. And so when I'm getting ready to preach, you know, I definitely need to take the time to make sure that I've gotten over myself so that I'm not here to present me. Amen. And I'm not getting in the way of what God wants to do through me. You know, we're not perfect vessels. We know in part, we prophesy in part, But God has placed this treasure in an earthen vessel such as you and I and allowed us to partner with Him. Hallelujah. And when you pray, you need to pray through. Pray until you get into the realm, amen, where of God's presence, of His glory. Hallelujah. And then you'll begin to hear His voice more clearly because it's not being clouded by your own thoughts. You have the mind of Christ. Amen. And then God, as we are willing to yield ourselves and open our mouths, He will fill it. A lot of times, it's just a matter of you and I saying, okay, Lord, you want me to speak to this person, I'll do it. You want me to pray for this person, I'll do it. And when you do it, He will meet you there because that's where He told you to be. Where I am, there my servant will be also. Amen. Elisha, remember, he followed Elijah very carefully. He wasn't going to let him go. And the day came, amen, when payday came. And he received that double portion because he had been a faithful servant. Amen. Hallelujah. And you and I in the New Testament are called to serve. And the greatest in the kingdom is the servant. Amen. So we get to do this. We get to serve the Lord. Naturally, we want to be served. But the Lord says, I'm one among you. I'm He who is among you as one who serves. And He said, it's more blessed to give than to what? Receive. It's more blessed to serve than to be served. He didn't come to be served, but to serve. And so He's saying, follow in my footsteps. If you want to be great in the kingdom, you want to have treasure in heaven, find a way to serve. Amen. Look for some place where you can serve the Lord and honor His name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Psalms 149, verse 1. Sing to the Lord a new song and His praise in the congregation of saints. Psalms 96 and verse 1. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Psalms 98 and 1. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Hallelujah. For He has done marvelous things. When Jesus is reigning in our hearts, we will have joy in the Holy Spirit. Amen. We'll have a song in our hearts. Hallelujah. Song of praise. Song of joy. How many know what it's like to have the Lord just drop a song in on you, you know? And even a song that you know, but the Holy Spirit will bring a song to you, you know? And it'll just kind of like light your fire, reignite you again, you know? And it's interesting how the Lord uses music so often, songs, to bring us back to a time and place. You know, when we had a connection with the Lord, you know, a special connection or a special experience maybe with the Lord. And that's why, again, remember the Lord told them to remember Passover so they wouldn't forget. Why do we take communion today? Lest we forget. Amen. The body and the blood and the sacrifice of our Lord on our behalf. Amen. And that we are the bride of Christ and we're espoused to Him and we're to keep ourselves. Amen. Until the day when He comes to receive us. Amen. So now God is calling all men everywhere to repent. Amen. Jesus has said that now remission of sins, right? Repentance and remission of sins is being preached in His name to all the nations. That's our message, guys, is that God wants to save, amen, people. But they must understand they're sinful and they need to come to repentance. And that's not always the popular message, but it's the only way to salvation. And today, there seems to be a lack of that teaching. People are being offered the solution before they know they have the problem. They're not saved. They think they are because somebody told them they are. But when you're saved, you have the witness in you that you're a child of God. You don't have to ask the preacher if you're saved. You know you are. Because Jesus is in you. Amen. How many new creations are here tonight? Amen. You got Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So the Lord is worthy all honor and all glory. He was the worthy one. He's the only one that it can open these seals. Amen. And He has full possession of all things. Hallelujah. Heaven and earth belong to the Lord. All right? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness. That's it. Hallelujah. Sorry, Greenpeace. But The earth actually belongs to Jesus, not you. Amen. Now, we'll be careful not to pollute your world, but, you know, but it's not your world. It's his world. This is my Father's world. Amen. So I believe in being a good steward. Amen. I don't believe in polluting the rivers. Amen. But we need to understand that the earth is like a garment that's going to wear out. There's going to be a new heavens and a new earth. Amen. We're using it up. It was here for a season. We're here for a season. But God's going to make all things new. Aren't you glad about that? Amen.